We're in 2 Kings, chapter 8. 2 Kings, chapter 8, in the first six verses for tonight. 2 Kings, chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. This is lesson 20 on the studies of Elisha. Let's go ahead and read this first. First six verses says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years." Now, I'll stop right there. This is not chronologically. This is not come right after chapter 7, because chapter 7, they're in a famine. Chapter 7, they're in a siege. So this is actually, chronologically, these two verses are set before the famine. So this is around chapter 6. So this is definitely before chapter 7. And there's Elisha goes to this woman whom we know, the Shunammite, and tells her what's going to happen and for her to flee. So now we start in verse 3. Now we come up to where we would normally be. "And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as Gehazi was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, in whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer or eunuch, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now." Bruce, would you lead us in prayer? Okay, so as I've said, this section or narrative is in chapter 8 in 2 Kings. It's not to be taken chronologically from the previous chapter. Rather, the first two verses, as I said before, take place prior to the seventh chapter. And so we're just going to look at two thoughts, verses 1 and 2, and then the 3, 4, 5, and 6. Well, verses 1 and 2, you remember this woman. She's the Shunammite woman. And basically, this was it's in chapter 4. But he says, "Then Elisha spake unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, go." There's a famine coming. "Go to and sojourn wherever you can." And she ended up going to the land of the Philistines for 7 years. She just up and left her property. Apparently she had fruit trees, fruits of the field since the day she left, fruit, cattle, land, whatever she had, she left it. She left it. And this, the famine, nor the siege of Samaria had taken place yet. But what we see here, and again, this is one of these areas that always step on my toes, so I'm going to step on your toes perhaps. But let what we see here between this woman and her household and Elisha is the love that they have one for another. He had a love for this woman because there was a bunch of other folks. He could have said, there's a famine. We don't know if he told others, but we know he told her. And he had compassion on her. And why did he have compassion on her? Because she had compassion on him. We remember in previous chapters where it speaks about her, she opened up her house. She actually opened up a room in her house. So every time he was going, remember, he would go from one of the prophet's school to another. He would make a triangle or a loop. And when he would come by there, she would say, come in, and would feed him, take care of him, make sure he was comfortable. So I think this is still true as it was then, as it is today. The love covers a multitude of sins. And this love is seen in Christ's disciples. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. As this woman, we saw lessons ago that she helped the prophet. She opened her house to him. She made sure he was comfortable. Such love and graciousness, I say this today as I would have said 20 years ago, is not seen very often in today's society or in today's religion. But it should be seen in the society where grace reigns through righteousness. So I asked myself these questions. I'm going to ask you these questions. Is there love lacking in me? Is there love lacking in me? If so, why? Am I cold in worship? Am I cold in my deeds to the brethren, to the church, to my fellow man? But we're specifically speaking about those of the household of faith. Is it cold? If it is, why? We will have no excuse other than the flesh and the sin nature. And just because, and I will say this, and you say it universally, and I believe it to be obviously so, just because you come to church does not mean you're showing love. Just because you come and sit under doctrinally correct teaching does not mean you understand or are you applying the love of Christ to us. The scripture says, by this love, all men will know that we are Christ's disciples. All men will know. So I just say these two things. Let this be an example here in these first two verses, whether we follow Elisha's lead or we follow this woman's lead. Let it be an example. May we strive. Lord, open my eyes to see the areas that I'm weak in. Open my eyes to see the areas that I sin and I don't realize it. Open my eyes to see the area of my personality that is crossways with the Word of God. And God, open my eyes to love like Elisha did this family and this family did to Elisha. Or simply let this be a rebuke to us who claim the name of Christ. Didn't we just, and I didn't pick that song out because I was knew all the words, but half of that song was, you know, we're so cold, we're so weak, you know, we're just insufficient. And yes, in the flesh, we are weak. And in the flesh, we desire things for ourselves. But to be like these two, Elisha and this woman, he told her, get out. Because you may not make it through. I mean, I don't know if you knew that, but get out. Get out. And sojourn. And she sojourned, and she went to the land of the Philistines, which, you know, that's an idolatrous, but so is Jerusalem in the time of this writing. The king that they had, he was an idolator. So she says, just get yourself away from here. I ask myself and I ask you this last question. Do we have a genuine love for the brethren? May the Lord have mercy on us to truly do so. To not love in deed, but love in or not love in word only, but in deed. Now the second thought I have is just the last three verses. This story is amazing in the fact that it shows God's lovely providence that He has, that He does for His people. From before the time, this woman was going to leave. She was going to obey the prophet. She said, leave. She said, you know, she didn't question him. She had faith. And she, well, what about the fear of not knowing? Yes, there was fear, I'm sure. What about the fear of, can I make a living for 7 years? I'm going somewhere, I don't know where. All these things would come to your mind, especially if you have a son. You know, or she had her son was raised from the dead. But I'm sure she thought, he took care of me then. I'm going to trust him. So faith simply obeys. Faith casts out fear and simply does. But this is a trial for her. So she just goes. She comes back. Her land's either been distributed amongst her family or been distributed from somebody else, but it's not hers. So she's going to do legally what she can only do, and that is to go petition the king. Well, it just so happens that the king is talking to Gehazi. Now, whether this Gehazi had leprosy or not, I do know this. You couldn't touch a leper, but it did mean you couldn't talk to him. You know, the king's court, he could have been standing over there and say, tell me what you know about. And why all of a sudden, this king, he hates Elisha. Every time we see him in light of scripture, it's not good. He's evil, devises evil. Why all of a sudden is he curious? It just shows the providence of God. It shows the providence of God. Look at with me at verse 5. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king, here comes the woman. Here comes the woman. Now, here we go. Here, you know me. Is this coincidence? Is this blind fate? Or thirdly, is this dumb luck? Well, seeing how biblically there is no such thing as these last three statements in the scripture. There's no such thing as coincidence. There's no such thing as blind fate. There's no such thing as dumb luck. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. All these things that we ascribe that have no biblical foundation. But we, all who know God, all who know themselves and understand that absolutely nothing takes place apart from God's sovereign purpose, His decree, or His dictates. Our God, He has the king's heart in His hand. Our God, He has purposed to reclaim all this woman's substance, no matter who's in charge. It could have been another king. It doesn't make any difference. God's providence is going to play out for His people. And that is mighty comforting. That is mighty comforting. Matter of fact, God is going to reestablish this poor elect sister's land, fruit, household, all that she left. All that she left. Look at the last part of verse 6. Restore. The king says, I'm going to give you appoint you an eunuch. Or eunuch, I'm sorry, eunuch. The word is officer. Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day. Since the day she left. God in the person and through the spotless workings of Christ Jesus our Lord gives us more than we lost in Adam. We gain more in Christ than what we lost in Adam. We are more blessed in the person of our adorable Lord Jesus than all the blessings this world has to offer. It's icing on the cake. Because in Adam, we can't take anything with us. Adam's inheritance, it stays right here. But Christ's inheritance, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yet we keep all spiritual blessings in Christ, even upon death and past death. Such is the inner workings of God's providence for each of His children. It's beyond words to describe it. When I read this, What do you say? How do you deal with this? How do you biblically, scripturally, humbly, and as a child of God, how do you deal with this? It's just God's providential dealings and His care for His people. If He sent His Son to die, will He not with Him freely give us all things? All things indeed. Well, I know you've experienced this. I've experienced even to the smallest degree. Something happens and you're like, well, this was here for me. How often have we said that? What do you mean by that? Well, I know what you mean by that. Lamentations chapter 3, that passage that Matt and Tara love so much. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. They're there every morning. We just don't often look for them, or we don't often see them. But they're there, morning by morning. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but do we not know that our life is hid with Christ in God? We are hid with Christ, and nothing can get at us, or nothing can get to us, but by the kind and gracious Redeemer of our souls, by His permission. Because we will go through affliction, we will go through trial, and this life is full of many trials and many difficulties. But if we are His children, He brings these things by for our good and for His glory. And in this lesson, do we not truly see how God takes care of His own? Look at verse 2. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of Philistines 7 years. In verse 1, sojourn. And again in verse 1, sojourn. That simply means a temporary abode. Now, isn't that what in the New Testament says we're pilgrims and sojourners here? This is just a temporary abode. We've got to let go of things. The Lord will either take them from our hand, or He'll cause us to loosen our grip. Things that we cherish here. That's why I printed out a couple of them out, and there's one left. The love between John and Mary Newton. And he preached a funeral, and he said he was thanking the Lord that He allowed him to borrow her. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. The Lord gives us our children. The Lord gives us our spouse. The Lord gives us our parents for a short period of time. They're on loan. They're on loan. We are never to love more our spouse or children than our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us them. We have to be reminded of this. But He led her. And then the next thing in verse 3, it came to pass at the end of 7 years, she returned. 7 years. It doesn't seem like long now, the older I get, but 7 years, that's a long time. To be away from everything and everybody you've grown up with and know, neighborhood, friends, all these different things, community, all this stuff. But He led her and He fed her, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the land of the Philistines. Sojourn. That's what He's doing right now. Whether we see it or not, that's what He's doing right now. He is leading us. And then what's He do? He's going to lead us home. That's what He's doing now. He's leading us through this pilgrimage, through this swamp, through this cavernous, you know, trials and difficulties, and sometimes straight lines, but a lot of times it's downhill, uphill, swimming here, foraging this and that. But He led us through this. He's going to lead us home. As He will us, and He'll take us home in not too many days. Tomorrow, 10 years, 2 years, 1 year, I don't know. But He's going to lead us home as He did here. She came back. She didn't even really get to talk to the king. The king's listening to the story, and then he appoints her a eunuch and says, give her everything back. Isn't that the free grace of God in Christ Jesus? He will keep us. He will feed us. He will care for us. He will comfort us in times of trial, trouble, the land of the Philistine. and bring all his bride home to be with him forever. That's the picture here. But while we're here, let us love. Let us love one another and cherish one another. And let us not walk in fear, but let us be strong in faith, giving glory to our God. Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Our cup overflows. Yes, we struggle and different things and everything, but truly, like Bruce said last Sunday, why do we dwell on the negative? And I'm not talking about power of positive thinking. I'm talking about positive faith. Stumbling, walking around like we're children of darkness. No, we're children of light. If indeed we be children of light. Let us show compassion on one another. Let us show an interest. Let us listen. Let us help one another. Let us encourage one another while it is called today. But if you're his, he's going to lead you through this sojourn, time of sojourn, and bring you home. Guaranteed. And I have that based upon the authority of God's word, not me, but what his word says. Matt, would you close us?